I'm Heidi Esbjørnsen. I'm an associate professor of ecosystem ecology in the Department of Natural Resources and the Environment at the University of New Hampshire.
And Heidi, what is ecosystem ecology?
So with ecosystem ecology, we're interested in understanding how whole ecosystems, in this case forests, respond to changes in the environment, whether it's a disturbance or climate change. And we're thinking about things like productivity, nutrient cycling, water balance.
And speaking of water, what was this particular study about?
So we were especially interested in understanding how forest ecosystems in New Hampshire respond to drought. We don't normally think of drought as being an important issue here in New Hampshire, but climate change forecasts suggest that in the future, although we'll likely experience more total rainfall, we're also expected to see more frequent and severe droughts. So, but we don't really understand how forests, to what extent forests in this region are adapted to drought and would be able to survive future severe droughts.
Well, specifically, what were you measuring?
So we were, first of all, we were removing about 50% of the incoming throughfall into the forest, which is the amount of water that falls beneath the canopy of the forest and reaches the surface of the ground. Rain is just the total amount of water that falls. So some of that rain is intercepted by the canopy and evaporates. So the throughfall is the remaining amount of rain that reaches the surface of the ground. And we were measuring the response of tree species, different tree species, to moisture stress.
So you were simulating a drought.
We were simulating a 1-in-100-year drought.
So what did you measure? Did you measure soil moisture, or did you measure what the trees were doing?
So we measured the amount of soil moisture. We needed to know, we needed to confirm that we were actually creating a drought and that we were reducing the amount of moisture available for the trees. Then we were also measuring how much water the trees were taking up. And this is important because when trees experience stress and they don't have enough water, then they are not able to take up as much water.
What did you find as you began to measure how the trees responded?
So trees have small openings on their leaf surfaces called stomates. So when trees experience moisture stress, they typically close their stomates to conserve water, but that also reduces the amount of photosynthesis. So we found that trees that were in the drought plots had substantially lower water use or transpiration than trees that were growing in the controls. I should also mention that because we experienced a severe drought last summer, the drought that we created with our experiment was actually more similar to a mega drought. So we had kind of double the amount of moisture stress than we would have had in a normal rainfall year.
And what response did you see? And was that different based on the species of tree?
Yes. Yeah, so we, in our experiment, we had two species that we were focusing on, red oak and white pine. And the experiment was located on within Durham on UNH, at the UNH Thompson Farm property. And what was interesting was we saw that both white pine and red oak were affected by the drought experiment. They both had significantly lower water use in the drought plots compared to the control plots. And we actually saw that during the peak of the drought in early September, transpiration was almost zero, which suggests that the plants had very low levels of photosynthesis during the peak of the drought.
But didn't you also measure a difference in the rates of photosynthesis in the white pine versus what the red oak was doing?
So we found that red oak and white pine, even though both of these species significantly reduced their water use during the drought, they had different responses. So white pine appeared to be more sensitive to drought. So what we mean by sensitive is that it closed its its stomata, the small openings on the surface of the leaves, in order to reduce water loss. And that was a way of avoiding drought, but at the same time, by closing their stomata, they were also not able to photosynthesize as much. A red oak appears to be much less sensitive to drought, so it didn't reduce its stomata as much as the white pine. And this would be considered a more risky strategy, but it's also a more tolerant strategy because it's able to maintain photosynthesis even during moisture stress.
So the red oak is kept photosynthesizing, even though there was very little soil moisture. So it just exhibited kind of a damn the torpedoes approach. Can you tell us how red oak was able to just continue to operate as if there wasn't a drought? Do you have any speculation on that?
Okay, so red oak has adaptive strategies that that allow it to tolerate moisture stress. For example, it tends to have deeper roots, and so it may be that the red oak is able to access water from deeper parts of the soil than the white pine. This is still something that we will be looking at in the future.
If people are thinking about the pine trees in their backyard and the oak trees in their backyard, it sounds like the oak is sort of better adapted than the pine to a layperson's ears, because the pine's literally shut down and avoided dealing with the drought by shutting down photosynthesis. Mm-hmm. And the red oak is perhaps better adapted to drought conditions because it continued to photosynthesize, and you talked about its adaptations.
Yeah, so basically white pine and red oak, they have different strategies for surviving drought. So as I mentioned, white pine has a strategy of trying to avoid drought by closing its stomates and protecting against water loss.
Mm-hmm.
Red oak has a different strategy. It is able to continue taking up water even though the soils are quite dry, which means it's also continuing to photosynthesize even though it's at lower levels. And so we actually also saw that red oak had higher growth rates during the drought than white pine, which makes sense because red oak, again, was able to continue photosynthesizing even though it was experiencing moisture stress. So red oak has certain adaptive strategies, such as deeper roots and different wood properties that provided greater protection against cavitation, which is what occurs when the water-conducting cells become damaged. And so red oak is, by keeping its stomates open and continuing to take up water and photosynthesize, it's also a more risky strategy because under a very severe drought, it may experience more damage to its cells. So what we don't understand yet is which of these two strategies in the long term would allow these species to survive. So just because white pine is avoiding drought stress doesn't mean that it's going to be more susceptible to mortality than red oak. That's still something that we'll be looking at in the future and trying to understand.
That's great. This is year one of a three-year study?
So we're going to be running the experiment for 4 years, and it's important to do this over several years because trees have a high degree of buffering capacity. So they are able to store carbohydrates in their tissues that they can then utilize when they're stressed. And so we didn't actually see any mortality last year, even though we were creating essentially a mega drought. And that just suggests that these trees do have quite a bit of resilience and are able to survive moisture stress. But eventually, we expect that we will see a threshold when the moisture stress becomes so great that the trees may not be able to survive.
Right.
And that's really what we're trying to understand.
Would you expect that pine, white pine and red oak growing in southern New Hampshire would actually be more drought tolerant and have better strategies to combat water stress than trees, say, growing in the White Mountain region, which did not experience and historically has not experienced severe droughts. So red oak and white pine compared to sugar maple and yellow birch and American beech, would you expect to see that trees in southern New Hampshire are more drought tolerant?
Yes, so different tree species have different adaptations to drought, and they've evolved under different environmental conditions. So we actually expect that trees in the southern part of New Hampshire, like the white pine and the red oak, will be more will be better adapted to drought than trees from the northern hardwood forest, for example, in the White Mountains, such as sugar maple, American beech, and yellow birch.
Why is that significant?
So that's important because, as I mentioned, we expect to see more frequent droughts in the future, and that may mean that tree species such as red oak and white pine, if they are able to better adapt and survive future droughts, they may actually expand further north in the region if we have drier conditions in the future.
Right. These could be the forests of the future.
Exactly. So people who have used models to understand how different species will respond to future climate change have suggested that we may see an expansion of these more drought-tolerant species like white pine and red oak towards into northern parts of the state.
I want to thank you very much for helping us out today.
Okay, you're very welcome. Yeah.